The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Laws from 2022 that allowed the Electoral Commission to pressure social media companies to deal with disinformation affecting elections are unlikely to be enacted in time for the presidential election. The laws are meant to protect elections from online disinformation, misinformation and manipulative behaviour. To talk about this further, Stephen McDermott, who's editor of Fact Check with the Journal.ie, and Kieran O'Connor of the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, a senior analyst there. We'll go to you, Kieran, first of all. Good morning.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
Tell me, how rife is the internet with disinformation and misinformation?
Yeah, so today's digital environment, it's rife with online manipulation, particularly surrounding elections, where there are attempts to use false or misleading information to sway public opinion. It's all too common. And whilst the use of misleading information during elections, it's nothing new, but what is different today is the speed, the scale, and the reach that such mis or disinformation can attain all too often without any serious scrutiny when it's disseminated in the kinds of echo chambers on social media platforms.
Now, typically, who are the perpetrators? Because we're always looking at Russia and saying Russia is doing this, Russia is doing that, and possibly Russia might be doing it to us too in this forthcoming election.
Yeah, and lots of European countries have identified purported attempts by Russia to interfere in their own elections. We haven't, I don't think, reached that scale, or at least there hasn't been evidence of that in Ireland at date. But this is all, a lot of this is happening domestically. It's online accounts that share false or misleading claims. For example, in the 2.5 week period up to the local elections in June of last year, we documented 162 separate individual posts across multiple platforms claiming election interference was happening in relation to the local and European elections. These false claims were mainly around non-citizens' legal rights to vote, but also included voter harvesting conspiracy theories or election rigging narratives that seem to have been imported from abroad, borrowing on narratives from places like the US. And at the same time, in November, an investigation by the NGO Global Witness found that TikTok was allowing election disinformation ads on its platform. And these are very explicit claims. One, for example, contained fake claims that voters needed proof of COVID-19 vaccinations in order to vote. So very clear-cut black and white examples, what is often referred to as process disinformation, false claims about how to vote or what you might need to vote or when to vote, these kinds of things.
Now, maybe we're in this environment where we try to check everything, and when we look at everything slightly askance to make sure, even an unlikely story, we ask ourselves, first of all, could this be true? And then we follow up accordingly. Do they actually think the Irish voter is stupid enough to believe you had to be COVID vaccinated to vote?
Well, this was the test of the investigation that Global Witness carried out. And I think the real takeaway there was that here was a very clearly false claim, but it managed to get through and managed to exist as an ad on the platform. And look, the proposed changes...
That was
changes,
on TikTok, wasn't it?
That was on TikTok for Global Witness's investigation, right? Yeah, the proposed changes to the Electoral Commission enabling it to address online disinformation, I think, represents an attempt to provide it with powers that correct the imbalance around platforms and improve platform accountability around this issue. And look, effective powers for the Commission will not eliminate or disinformation, but it will hopefully provide the agency responsible for ensuring integrity in our elections with clearer authority and tools for intervention.
I mean, famously, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the former American president who succeeded John F. Kennedy, he had a line when one of his aides came up to him and said, when you're claiming X, Y, or Z about his opponent, and he said, but Lyndon, you know it's not true. And he said, I know it's not true, but I want to hear him deny it, because that's as damaging in itself. So that kind of stuff has been going on, or you get fly postering saying something malicious about a candidate. As you say, it's different now. The speed of things and the extent of its dispersal, I suppose, is unprecedented.
Well, this is it, Pat. As I said, false claims, misleading claims, subterfuge, all these kinds of things have existed in elections as long as we've had elections. But that speed, scale and reach is different today. And if you think of it in very blunt terms, it might take someone a couple of minutes to craft or post something on any number of platforms and for it to get attention and to have impact on someone's beliefs about the election or the integrity of it and so on. But for fact checkers like Stephen's team, it takes hours. It takes much longer to go out and verify or debunk false claims for that to be published on their website and for that to have the same impact. So okay, there really is a significant imbalance, I think, around this issue.
So online. Stephen, who's in studio with me, Stephen, that business of fact checking, how do you go about it?
I mean, as Kieran said, it's kind of slow. You know, you might see a narrative crop up. So, for example, as he mentioned, you know, you need to be COVID vaccinated to cast your vote in an election. So you'll present people with the information. You say, here's how you vote. Voting is obviously a, you know, democratic right that we all have in Ireland once you're over the age of 18. And so you just explain that to people and how the process works. And you just simply give them the information and say...
But you could see how someone who is malicious could say, you know, form of identification, bring your driving license, your passport, your PPS number, whatever it is, and your COVID vaccination cert.
Yeah, someone can say that if they want to, but we're going to put it out there.
You have to try and...
That is the fact-checking. You say you don't need that on its own. If you're not vaccinated, that is
absolutely fine. Did you find any traction for that particular...
Not particularly last year, no, but... you know, it's hard to say how narratives get hold. I mean, like all of this stuff that we're talking about today with the Electoral Commission, like it's about nipping bad stuff in the bud. And that is ultimately what the laws are. Like you mentioned kind of the Lyndon Baines Johnson thing there. That spin and political argument is not the same as misinformation. And we're really talking about like safeguarding the integrity of our elections here. This is not about, you know, preventing political argument or one side versus another.
So why have we delayed the law?
Essentially, there's a problem. So we'll go through what the law is first. So the idea is part five of this Electoral Reform Act, which essentially set up the Electoral Commission, who are there to sort of oversee elections that people have been calling for years and years and years. They wanted to introduce a new law that was about, as I said, safeguarding the integrity of elections. So what they essentially propose is that they would have the power that when they see a narrative or they see misinformation specifically about an election, it doesn't have to be misinformation about, you know, a COVID vaccine
is unsafe, gives you cancer or whatever
kind of thing. It's very, very specifically about the election and the electoral process or a referendum, and that they will be able to flag with the relevant company, whether it's, you know, X or Facebook or TikTok, to say this content is on your platform, it needs to be removed or it needs to be labeled or something like that. That is simply what it is.
Okay, and that seems like a good thing to do to keep the integrity of the election. Why have we not implemented it?
Ultimately, it comes down to this. There's a kind of bit of back and forth between ourselves and the European Commission now as well. So there is separately to this, this is an Irish law that we're talking about just there about the Electoral Commission. Separately to this, the EU was introduced, it was called the Digital Services Act. People might have heard of it. It's kind of like a consumer act almost about online activity. So if you treat the internet and audit services as kind of like you're a consumer of that as a product. And it's to prevent sort of harmful activities, safeguard kind of the information you get, safeguard if you're buying products online, things like that. The EU law is sort of above Irish law, and the EU European Commission has essentially said that if Ireland introduces its law, as I said, the Electoral Commission law, that is going to be much more stringent on companies and on online information than their EU Digital Services Act is, and you're going to have a situation where it's sort of out of sync. The tech companies have also lobbied against this. They've said their argument is essentially that under the Irish law, they would have to do this. They would have to look for kind of bad information and nip it in the bud, kind of constantly, and they say, well, we have so many users, we have millions and millions or hundreds of millions of users. Bad information kind of come from everywhere. There's all these, you know, it's in different
languages.
So
they're saying it's not that they wouldn't like to do it, but they just think it's too cumbersome to do it.
Essentially, yes. And they think that there's too much of an, I guess, like they want kind of a more active process where someone can kind of go, like with the Digital Service Act, say, I'm complaining about this piece of misinformation that's online. We will then do something about it. They believe that they're being a kind of strong-armed into having to monitor every single thing that's on their platforms.
It strikes me, and I put this to both of you, that the simple way, simple but maybe they're reluctant to do it, to get around all of this is to make them, designate them as publishers, not platforms. And then everything they publish that's erroneous or false, if they don't address it within a certain very limited time frame, they can be sued.
ultimately, I mean, I think that is the argument. You know, I think
it's the answer, though.
We have seen a problem with recent years. You know, with the platforms and their moderation. And you know, for to give you one example, you know, we have a situation where I think the vast majority, I don't know the specific figure, it's about 90% of content moderators on Facebook are English language moderators. So, you know, you have all these, again, these global languages. It's a global platform that publishes in countries around the world. How can you effectively moderate what's on your platform if you don't have the requisite number of moderators in a specific language? So when you treat them as publishers and you hold them to account as that, like you're suggesting, and make them go, okay, well, you are a publisher, you know.
Normally when, you know, we err, and hopefully we don't err too often, a rapid apology, you know, is often a mitigation in any defense in court. You know, you go in and say, well, look, as soon as we knew it was wrong, we corrected it, da, 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 da. And the same would apply to the platforms, that if they correct what the misinformation or disinformation within a certain short period of time, then they are exempt from prosecution. But otherwise,
I think part of the problem with that, and this is not to say you're wrong, but part of the problem with that is that you're comparing kind of like more traditional media like ourselves with an online platform where, you know, you could have thousands or tens of thousands or millions of people. So take, for example, what happened on the 6th of January, 2021 in the US. You know, this narrative takes hold that the election has been stolen, and you have, you know, people saying it in various posts that are claiming it. Now, you can apologize immediately or take it down, but you can still say, well, the narrative is going to seep out and it's going to spread everywhere else because it is instantaneous. So it's not
But if it's demonstrable that the election wasn't stolen, that what went on January the 6th was wrong, was illegal, and was obviously condoned by the president. And we know the problem is that the tech bros are all pals now of the president. So that's a different issue, I suppose, you have to address. But that you don't publish, you don't allow any stuff. You have a filter there that says any January 6th stuff is going to be removed.
Ultimately, yes. I think we saw at the time as well, we've seen what has happened since, that, you know, there was huge conversations happening in the, you know, in the various tech platforms on that day.
If you had nudie pictures of Zuckerberg cavorting with Russian hookers and you put it online, even if it was AI generated, I guarantee that'd be gone in milliseconds.
They seem to find a way when they want to, absolutely. But I think ideologically they're kind of opposed to that at the moment. And it is ultimately for governments to say, well, you know, or regulators essentially to say, well, you know, we need to address that.
All right, Kieran, your final comments on why we need to get this through as quickly as possible?
It all comes back to platform accountability. These massively powerful, well-financed social media technology communication platforms where so many of us get not just our information, but our news that shapes our opinions around the world, including around elections. And look, all of these social media platforms have very nuanced, detailed community guidelines, rules for what is and is not permitted on these platforms. And often is the case, they include in their provisions around discourse about elections. And what, be it powers for the Electoral Commission or legislation like the Digital Services Act, which Stephen mentioned there, is all a means of encouraging and improving platform accountability, because as we've seen in other jurisdictions, and we've seen elements of it here as well, there are attempts to influence public opinion and sway populaces during elections via social media platforms.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Kieran O'Connor of the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, a senior analyst there, and Stephen McDermott, editor of Fact Check with thejournal.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.